Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Let's look at the Word of God together. Hallelujah. Open your Bible. Can we make it louder? Open your Bible. How many people love the Word of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When Paul talks about us, who is us? We all, is that right? I and you. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know that you have at least one ministry? I'm going to continue this sermon after Pastor Da preach next Sunday, because I don't think I have time to finish it. How many people know that everyone in this room is a minister? Do you know that? Minister is not only the preacher. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian is a servant of the Lord. And you may say, God, I don't know what ministry I have. I don't know what kind of ministry I have. Maybe I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a church administrator. But I want to tell you that God has given every Christian at least one ministry. And all of us has the same ministry. That is the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone say, I have a ministry.
The ministry
of reconciliation. In other words, God has given you a very important job. And that job is to help people in the world to be reconciled to God.
Amen.
And not only that, the ministry is to give you the ministry to help people who have conflict or broken relationship to be reconciled to one another. It's a vertical aspect and a horizontal aspect. Amen. Let's say it with me. I have
a ministry
to help people to be reconciled to God and help people to be reconciled to one another. I am a peacemaker. Amen. Let's turn to each other and say, you are a peacemaker. Hallelujah. How many people know that God is love? Our God, God doesn't have love. God is love Himself. Because God is love, He cares about relationship. My dear brothers and sisters, every decision I make in this church, I put this word before anything else, relationship and love. Any decision I make, I don't go by organizational decision. I go by relationship decision. Because I know that my God and your God is love. And God values relationship so much. Therefore, all of our life here on earth, you know, we are in a school of life. And we are learning a big subject in the school. The subject is not anatomy. The subject is not physiology. The subject is not algebra. But the subject is learning how to love. Amen? So we learn how to love one another. And sometimes, because we come from different backgrounds, even husband and wife, I and Pastor Da, we came from a very different background. I came from a broken home. My dad and my mom never got along all the days of my life. I saw them fighting each other, arguing with one another. They never get along. But my wife came from a very warm family. So you notice that she is warmer than me. It's normal. Because I came from a broken home. But when we live together, oh, I tell you, the first few years, it was tough. Because she eat jaiyo. You know, trái giò is a spring, is a egg roll, Vietnamese egg roll. She know how to make Vietnamese egg roll. But I like to eat noodle. So we eat different things. We have a problem in relationship for a long time. What we learn by the word of God and by the Spirit of God, how to love one another. So, and can you imagine in this church we have about 20 nationalities. Look at some people. They look different from you. Is that right? Look at Neil. Neil is a minority here. Neil is a minority. Amen. So, hallelujah. Liam is a minority. Are you glad you are a minority in this place? Are you glad you are a minority? Hallelujah. So we come from, actually, I want to conclude this. We are all minority in this room. Because we don't have any majority group here. Everyone look different. We come from different backgrounds. So it's normal to face conflict and hurt and misunderstanding. Not only that we come from different backgrounds, people come from different personality. You know, some people may be very upfront, very straightforward to your face. Somebody will go and talk around and around until you really get it. So people come from different backgrounds. Some people never smile. Some people smile a lot. Amen. Some people are very organizing. Like to organize. Some people just move and flow and no organization. So that's why we have conflicts in the church. And we see differences in the church and hurt and all this stuff. That's why God knows that this is going to happen in the church. And the whole New Testament, many part of the New Testament, talking about how to get along in the church. How to make peace in the church. How to make reconciliation or healing in of relationship in the church. The whole New Testament, majority of New Testament talking about relationship, loving relationship in the church. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, the Bible say, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. You know, this is a joy of the pastor. By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I want to tell you the joy in the heart of God and the joy in the heart of the pastor is to see God's people in the local church love one another, being in one accord, talking, relationship, and getting along, forgiving one another. That is the heart of God. God doesn't want to see us fighting each other, arguing with one another, barking toward one another, biting and hitting one another. God wants us to love one another. But we cannot avoid conflict in the church. It's normal because we come from different backgrounds. We cannot avoid conflict in a married life either. How many people agree with that? Any couple say, yeah, I understand what you're talking about conflict. Amen? Especially in our church here, we have a lot of mixed marriage. So it's very common to have conflict. But Paul said that, you know, if you are mature people, the sign or the mark of maturity is this. You can get along with anyone. You can love anybody. Immature people will pick and choose to love somebody. Immature people will get along only a certain group of people. But mature people, mature Christians, will get along with any kind. Will be able to fellowship with anyone and will be able to love all kinds of people. So this is a good thermometer to measure how much you are mature in Christ. If you have a lot of problem in the church with other people, you need to go back home. I plan to prepare a preaching. That preaching called Soften Your Ground. And in that preaching, I'm going to say one sin at a time and ask you to repent one sin at a time. I'm preparing doing that. Are you excited about that sermon? to mention is sin. And then I say, repent right now. I'm going to do that soon to prepare a sermon called Soften the Ground Before Revival Come. In order to see revival in your home, you need to repent of your sin. Amen. So many times when we don't get along with people, we need to go back home. It's not their problem. It's my problem. If you say that person is have, I cannot get along. Actually, it's your immaturity. Because if you really mature, you get along with anybody. Amen. You will be able to love anybody. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that what kind of trademark God wants to have in His church? Speaking in tongue? We are well known of speaking in tongue. Are we well known of falling under the power? No. Are we well known of a nice carpet? A handsome pastor named Pastor Caesar? No. Even though he is handsome. I don't say no about his handsomeness. I'm talking about the well known. How people know our church. Our church should be well known in the area of love. Is that right? People who come to our church should feel the love of God. To see the love of God manifest in the church. And people see God, the guests or the non-believers walk in here and say, wow, so overwhelmed by the love of God. Amen. I make a decision. I told Pastor Dad that. I make a decision to be a loving pastor. Amen. I'm not going to pull the whip out and beat people and pull the stick out and just bang on people. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be a loving pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 13 verse 35. Talk about that. That if you love one another, the world will know that you are my disciple. Therefore, broken relationships in a local church or in a home is very disgraceful to the name of Jesus Christ. When people see that husband and wife fight each other, when people see that members in the church are fighting each other, cannot talk to each other, it brings disgrace and bad reputation to our Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing I want to do in my life is to bring disgrace, to bring bad name to my Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me. Lately, when I worship God, I cry a lot. I cry and feel so overwhelmed because I say, God, you pick me out of the mud, out of the bad place, and you die for me. You wash my sin, and you give me beautiful, very godly wife. You give me a special church like this. You have given me so much. I don't deserve this. I will never do anything to make you have bad reputation. I'm going to do everything to bless you. Amen? And how can we bless God? By loving one another. By having a good relationship with one another. Not by taking each other to the court, fighting, arguing, and have dispute. Paul was so concerned when he was writing the letter to Corinth church. He said, I can't believe it that your guy fighting and no one is mature enough in the church to be able to resolve the problem for you. And you have to take one another to the court and let the judge, the worldly judge, judge either one of you. So you can see that when Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, he really, really concerned about the carnality of the local church there. You know what is carnality? Flesh. Me, 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 me. Every time your me rise up. Do you know that? Before Adam and Eve sinned against God, they were so full and covered with the glory of God. So that spirit is filled with the spirit and the glory of God. And their spirit control their mind and their flesh. But once they say yes to Satan, the glory of God left. And then it reversed. Their flesh control their spirit. As Christian, we need to be spiritual people. Controlled by the spirit. Inside our spirit. And our spirit control our flesh. Amen. I met an old friend a few days ago, and we kind of had problem of conflict long time ago. I make up my mind in my spirit here, and when my spirit tell my flesh, I'm going to love this person. I'm not going to fight. I'm going to forget about the past. I'm going to move on. I'm going to love this brother and forget about the past. That is the spirit controlling the flesh. Is that right? So the same thing here. God wants us to really, really control our flesh, because our flesh has the nature of fighting, arguing, competing. Who is better? I'm better than you. You're better than me. I'm going to compete with you. Look at me. And that is the carnal Christian. That kind of walk. Carnal walk. We should stop being carnal. We should be spiritual people.
Amen.
Amen. I need to teach all these things because we have revival in our church and we have spiritual manifestation. People laugh, people fall, people shake, people cry. The last thing I want people out there to say is this: these people, they cry, they fall down, but they are so carnal. And I don't want the Holy Ghost. You block the Holy Ghost from working with other people's life because they look down on the Holy Ghost in you because you are so carnal. I want to be spiritual. I want to be loving. I don't want just to fall down and laugh and get up and act like carnal Christian. I want to be spiritual Christian. Amen. So Paul wrote this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be perfectly joined together. Everyone say perfectly. Joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul did not want to see division in the church. Paul did not want to see conflict and fighting and carnality in the local church. Amen. Let me ask this question before I finish the sermon because of the time. How many people want to be blessed? How many people want to be cursed? How many people want blessing to come upon your life? I want to give you one key that you will be a child of God who is so blessed. This is one of the keys that God talked about in Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. You want to be blessed? Want to be blessed? This is one key. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called son of God. You want to be blessed? You want to be what? Peacemakers. The Bible does not say peace lover, because everyone loves peace. The Bible does not say peaceable, mean you have peace yourself. But the Bible says you make an effort to make peace in the community and in your home. Amen. A few days ago, I make my wife upset. Legitimate upset. I want to say that because otherwise you make me misunderstand my wife that she is short tempered. She was legitimately upset with me. I did something wrong. I have two choices. Fighting with her. No, I'm a husband. You are just a woman. I am right all the time. Get out of here. I'm a husband. I'm the head of the household. No. I say, Da, I'm sorry. I make a mistake. I should have not said that. I want to make peace in my home. Amen, John.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Make peace. Husband, be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Wife too.
Yeah.
Be a peacemaker. Leader in the church, be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Amen. Seek to resolve the conflict. Seek to heal broken relationship. Seek to restore any conflicted relationship. But make everyone joy together in unity. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say it at the same time. I learn how to love. I want to have that skill. How many people want to have a skill of being good computer man? You know how to do website, you know, all this. How many people are good at computer? Raise your hand up. How many people are good at mechanics? Raise your hand up. How many people are good at business? Raise your hand up. How many people are good at thinking? How many people are good at complaining? Oh, no. How many people are good at nagging? No. I want to encourage you to learn one skill. This skill is not to be a neurosurgeon, to be a doctor, to be a teacher. It's a skill to love people and make peace with people. Amen? Peacemaking is not avoiding conflict. Peacemaking is not running away from a problem. Peacemaking does not mean that you ignore the problem that happened. Peacemaking doesn't mean that you are a doormat that people just stamp on you and walk on you and you say, oh, do to me, I'm fine. No. Because even Jesus, when the Pharisees tried to give him a hard time, he stood up and he stood firm on the faith, on the truth. He did not allow the Pharisees and the religious people to trample on him. But he made peace. Amen? So I need to make sure that you understand that making peace doesn't mean giving in all the time. Giving in all the time. So I'm going to teach you how to make peace with people. Can I tell you one today?
Yes.
And continue a few more next time. Amen? Yes. Now we're going to look at ministry of reconciliation. Let's say at the same time, I'm learning. The ministry of reconciliation. Let's look at the one principle here and we continue next time. Matthew chapter 7 verse 5. Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So the first principle, the first thing that God wants us to do to make peace is confession. Everyone say confession.
Confession.
You look at your fault first. Examine yourself first. Examine your fault and confess your sin and your fault before you point finger to another person. Believe me, any conflict or any broken relationship are two-way thing.
Yes.
It's not only one, two side. Yeah, two side. Two side thing. It's not only her. Okay, it's you too. It's not only him, but it's you too. But instead of going with this attitude that more like a offensive, I'm going to point finger to you and say you are wrong. You need to come with this attitude. God, show me what's wrong with me. Amen. Sometimes you don't see your own fault. That's why you need another person to help you. Amen. You need another person to help you. In this church, I want to be very clear to you. If I am doing anything wrong, you can come to me privately and correct me anytime. I'm open for correction. Amen.
Okay.
I'm open for correction. And the same thing, I have a sermon called Correction is Good. I'm going to preach that soon this year. Correction is good. And sometimes correction can come directly from God. The Holy Spirit can shine the light upon us and show us what's wrong with us. That's why one of the reasons I love the presence of God. Because when you are in the presence of God, God spoke to you. God showed you. God really convicts you of your sin and your fault. That's why I try to bring people into the presence of God every Sunday. Amen. So that God will talk to you. And instead of pointing finger to other people, look at, oh, I see the speck in your eye. But you don't see a plank, big plank in your eye. And it blind you because you don't see everything. It just blind you, the plank. God said, remove the plank first. First of all, confess your own sin. Instead of pointing finger to other people. Amen. Maybe the problem come up because you are so unrealistic about life. You expect your wife too much. I give you example. If you send your wife out to work outside 8 hours a day, and you expect her to come back and clean the home and do the bed and everything for you, I think your expectation is unrealistic because she got tired all day already. Amen. So you have to be realistic of life. Cannot just, oh, I gotta get my way. The same thing in the church. Sometimes we are too, another problem that cause problem is we are too sensitive. Oh, the pastor doesn't say hi to me today. But you may not know that he's still hooked up to God on Sunday morning. He tried to talk to God. He tried to listen to what direction they're going to go. And you're just concerned about your somebody say hi to you. So maybe you're too sensitive. Or maybe you're not sensitive enough. So either way, you are so insensitive to people. I need to practice all the time to my wife. I need to be sensitive to her more. Amen? Amen. Open the door for her. Jane saw that. I open the door for my wife. Close the door for her. Be sensitive to people around you. Amen? Maybe those kind of simple sin, insensitivity, or too sensitive, or hope that thing will be too perfect all the time, cause you to get upset with people all the time. Amen? Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So I want to say this. Confession is one of the strongest tools for reconciliation. If you go to that person and you say, first, brother, I make mistake. I sin against you. That will pull down already the wall of defense. That person, instead of pulling the gun out to shoot you, he may pull out the wallet and give you money. Amen. If you just go to say, I'm sorry, I make mistake. Amen. And in fact, a lot of us try to resolve the conflict by creating more conflict. How? By going and attack that person first. Keep attacking. So the conflict get blow up more. But if you go and say, I'm sorry, maybe I'm too harsh on you. And that requires humility. Humble yourself, admitting your mistake first. If you can admit your mistake first, it will diffuse another person's anger. It will calm down that person's bitterness. It will disarm the attack. The hand gonna go to the gun, stop, and say, no, I'm not gonna pull the gun out to hit you. Don't make excuse. Don't shift the blame to another person all the time. But honestly accept that I might do something wrong too. And I believe that you can be peacemaker. Amen? Are you learning something today? So today we learn confession. Is that right? You're going to do that now? You're going to do that to your wife? To your kids? Say, I'm sorry. I make mistake. Humble yourself. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Before I end this sermon, I'd like to encourage many of you who don't know Jesus yet. Thank you, Jesus. How many people agree with me that every person in the world have sinned against God? Let me ask this question. Anyone in this room never lied before? Raise your hand up. Never think bad about another person? Raise your hand up. So everyone agree with me that we are sinners? Is that right? By nature. And the Bible says like this, the wages or the payment of sin is death. That is a separation from the eternal God. Separation now, that your prayer will not get answered, that you will not have relationship with God. Not only that, after you die, you cannot be in heaven for eternity. Heaven is real. But because God loved us so much, He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, who is perfect and never sinned to die to pay his death, pay for your penalty. What you need to do is this. Say, God, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. Could you please forgive me? And I would like to invite Jesus Christ to come into my life. Jesus came as the Son of God and the Son of Man to die for you. He wants to have a relationship with you. What you need to do is to say yes to Jesus and say, Lord, I want you to be in my life and I repent of my sin. Some of you today, you might have received Jesus a long time ago, but you have grown cold toward God. You don't love God as much as the time that you just accepted Christ. And you say, God, I want to come back to you today. I commit my life to love you and to serve you from today on. This is the right timing to do too. If you want to pray with me, to give your life to God and say, God, I want to give my life back to you. I like to do that at the end of the service. I'm going to stand here and you come to me and I will pray with you. Can we make that deal together? If you say, God, I want to come back. I want to repent of my sin. I will stand here and pray with you and ask you and ask God to come into your life for you. Amen? Amen. We will pray together. Amen. Hallelujah. Before the end of the service, I'd like to show DVD. But let's pray together first that God will make us peacemaker. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we pray, Lord, that we all will be peacemakers. We will love other people. We want to get along with others, Lord. Help us in this church, Lord. We are an international church. A church of people with different backgrounds, different, Lord, cultures, different thinking. Help us, Lord, to love one another. Help us, Lord, to be good witness for you. That when people come into our church, people will see, they will see that we love one another with their own eyes. We will express the love of God in action and in words, Lord. Help us to remember this sermon, Lord. Oh, Lord, those who listen to this CD, I pray, Lord, that they will be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, those who don't know Jesus yet, who listen to this CD, they will give their life to Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, I'd like to lead to you in prayer right now, and you can come to me later on. Why don't you follow my prayer right now? Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I turn away from my sin. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He's my Lord and my Savior. He died on the cross to pay for my sin. And he was raised from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. I want to follow you and serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.